Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vachaname Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashach Desita. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 9, is it?
Yes.
Text 5 through 10.
Yes.
The story of the marriage of a young girl. Just one thought before we begin the class today. I was thinking how fortunate we are here in the New Ramireti community. So many wonderful opportunities to engage in varieties of devotional service. Just hearing the announcements today, so many things are going on. Over the weekend, they had this seminar on mysteries of the sacred universe. There's Rathiatra next week, which is one of many. And of course, we have the activities of the Bhaktivedanta Academy, continually giving us a chance to encourage our young devotees, young people. It's really a wonderful opportunity we have to, in our community, to really be part of a community and delve into all the different activities that go on. I would encourage everyone to take part as much as possible. Don't just stay in your homes, but come out. Jivanavan Mataji is doing the book distribution, training session, all these wonderful opportunities for serving Srila Prabhupada. We're fortunate, so we should take advantage. So that's my little speech for today. So we'll chant the text number 5 and read through the others, a couple of short purports and a longer purport to text number 10. So word meanings, Kwachit once, Kumari, a young girl, too indeed, Atmanam, herself, Vrindanam, desiring as a wife, Grihan, to the house, Agatan, arrived, Swayam, herself, Tan, those men, Ahayam, Asa, received with great hospitality, Kwa Api, to another place, Yateshu, when they had gone, Bandusuhu, all of her relatives. Kwachit Kumari Twatmanam. Vrinanam Vihan Agatam. Swayam Tan Ahaya Asha. Vapiyate Shubandusu. Kwachit Kumari Twatmanam. Vrinanam Vihan Agatam. Swayam Tan Arhayam Asha. Abhityate Shubandushu.
Abhityate
Shubandushu.
Swami Yateshu Bandushu.
What?
So I'll just run through the English translations up to 10. It has a little lengthy purport there, so I'll just read through. Translation, once a marriageable young girl was alone in her house because her parents and relatives had gone that day to another place. At that time, a few men arrived at the house, specifically desiring to marry her. She received them with all hospitality. The girl went to a private place and began to make preparations so that the unexpected male guests could eat. As she was beating the rice, the conch shell bracelets on her arms were colliding and making a loud noise. The young girl feared that the men would consider her family to be poor because their daughter was busily engaged in the menial task of husking rice. Being very intelligent, the shy girl broke the shell bracelets from her arms, leaving just two on each wrist. Thereafter, as the girl continued to husk the rice, the two bracelets on each wrist continued to collide and make noise. Therefore, she took one bracelet off each arm, and with only one left on each wrist, there was no more noise. O subduer of the enemy, I travel throughout the surface of the earth learning constantly about the nature of this world, and thus I personally witnessed the lesson of the young girl. Purport. The Brahmana sage here explains to King Yadu that he is not presenting theoretical knowledge. Rather, by wandering throughout the world, the observant and thoughtful Brahmana has personally experienced the lessons learned from all the above-mentioned gurus. Thus, instead of posing himself to be omniscient like God, he humbly explains that he has faithfully learned these lessons in his travels. Text 10. When many people live together in one place, there will undoubtedly be quarreling. And even if only two persons live together, there will be frivolous conversation and disagreement. Therefore, to avoid conflict, one should live alone, as we learn from the example of the bracelet of the young girl. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a nice example in this regard. Because the young girl mentioned in this story had no husband, she had to fulfill her duties as a host by removing her bracelets so that each wrist held one bracelet only. In the same way, the process of jnana yoga, or spiritual advancement by philosophical speculation, demands that the speculating sages live alone without any other association. Since jnanis have dedicated their lives to speculation, there will undoubtedly be endless arguments and quarreling on technical points if many jnanis live together. Therefore, to keep a peaceful atmosphere, they must live alone. On the other hand, a king's daughter, who had been duly married to an aristocratic prince, fulfills her duties to her husband by dressing herself attractively with innumerable ornaments and approaching him for love. Similarly, the goddess of devotion, Bhakti Devi, decorates herself with the innumerable ornaments of the Vaishnavas, who come together to relish the sweet sound of the holy name of the Lord. Because pure Vaishnavas do not intimately associate with non-devotees, it may be said that they reside alone, and thus they also fulfill the purpose of this verse. There cannot be any quarrel among pure Vaishnavas, because they are on the real platform of desirelessness. Not wanting even salvation or mystic powers, what to speak of sense gratification. Because they are all devotees of Krishna, they may freely associate with one another for glorifying the Lord, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-34. A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engages in the service of my lotus feet never desires to become one with me. Such a devotee who is unflinchingly engaged always glorifies my pastimes and activities. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented on this verse as follows. The young girl in the story kept only one bracelet on each wrist so that there would be no noisy conflict among the bracelets. Similarly, one should give up the association of those who are not devoted to the Supreme Lord. This is the actual lesson to be learned. A real Vaishnava is always pure and faultless in character. However, in those places where non-devotees congregate, there will undoubtedly be envious criticism of the devotional service of the Lord, and those who falsely attempt to analyze such reality without the Supreme Personality of Godhead will create much disturbing noise in the name of philosophy. Therefore, one should remain in those places where the Supreme Lord is properly worshipped according to the Vedic standard. If everyone is dedicated to glorifying the Personality of Godhead Krishna, there will not be any impediment in mutual association. However, in a place where people have many different purposes besides the pleasure of the Supreme Lord, social dealings will certainly be disrupted. One should therefore avoid the association of those who are inimical to devotional service. Otherwise, one will be frustrated in achieving the spiritual purpose of life. One who always keeps himself in the company of devotees of the Lord is actually living alone. If one lives in a community where the only consideration is the pleasure of the Lord, like New Ramanreti, then one can avoid contradictory situations caused by many persons competing to satisfy their own material desires. This is a lesson intelligently understood by the Brahmana from the bracelets of the young girl. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya quotes the following. Asad janas tu sambhaso na kartya katanachana yadvashya sakuda sajana satumektida. One should not, under any circumstances, live with those who are not devotees of the Lord. On the other hand, one should stay with many devotees because such association awards liberation. Anaganatamanandasha, Ananjana Shalaka, Chakshun, Vikam Yena, Tasmai, Sri Gurave Namah. So following on those introductory comments that I made, I'd like to discuss devotee association as a theme in this morning's class. Because association is so important, as we understand from these verses and purports. Association is not important for gyanis. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one purport the characteristic of a muni. Does anybody remember what the characteristic of a muni is that Srila Prabhupada points out? Madan Moha? Yeah. Okay, yeah. To be a muni, you have to have a different opinion from another muni. You have to defeat them. You have to tear apart their logic. And of course, for gyanis, that's their whole life. So your whole life is filled with people trying to tear you down. Not very conducive to association. So therefore, In these purports, we get the lesson that gyanis, they must live alone. They flee, actually, from association. But devotees are different. Devotees' association is to be valued, to be relished. But that association has to be done in a certain manner, according to certain etiquette. Otherwise, it also can become chaotic, offensive, not satisfying to the heart. Particularly in the process of bhakti, we're concerned with the situation of the heart. More so than just the dry jnana. We're concerned with the heart, and the heart is nurtured in association. So we get instruction in the Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada gave it to us, nectar of instruction. When you think about nectar of instruction, there are 14 verses? 11. 11 verses, and much of it, and that's the essence of instruction. Upadeshamrita, the best of instruction. And you find a focus there on how to associate, how to interact with other Vaishnavas. It's such an important aspect of our lives as devotees, the association. Prabhupada has another favorite statement of mine where he says that to think one can become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees is living the life of a great hallucination, doesn't he say?
Yeah.
It's a great hallucination. It's so devotee association is so important. So let's look at some of the etiquette that's involved in devotee association so that we don't risk losing it. Generally speaking, we'll find that there are three classifications of devotees. Those that are more advanced than ourselves, or superior to ourselves in some way, those that are on an equal level with us, and those that are less advanced in Krishna consciousness, science of bhakti yoga. So generally there are these three types of devotees in a society. So let's take the first one, say a senior to a junior. I mean, a common example of that, the dynamic of a relationship between a senior and a junior, is like a parent and a child. Naturally, the parent has a superior position, if you will, to the child, but the relationship with the child is marked with what?
Affection.
Yes. It's marked with affection. And there are many different types of affection. So this particular relationship of superior
to subordinate.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't want to say that other word. So the particular type of affection that's exhibited there would be what? What affection means what in this context? Love,
care.
Okay, now we're getting there. Care. Yeah. Compassion, isn't it? That's one way you can look at it. The affection that we're talking about in this relationship is compassion. So, if we flip it around and we have a relationship of a junior to a senior, what's going to be the affection the type of affection that's exhibited in that relationship?
Respect.
Okay, yeah, respect. Everyone got that one? Yeah, so senior to junior compassion, junior to senior respect. And what about amongst equals?
Friendship.
Yes, friendship. Okay, so those are general rules of etiquette in those relationships, and they're expressed often in terms of a bodily relationship. I mean, just like every day Shankar Prabhu comes up to me and he gives me a big hug, you know, and that kind of relationship where you put your arm around your buddy and you give him a hug or embrace, that's characteristic of a friendly relationship. A relationship where the parties are on an equal or same level. So what would be sort of a bodily expression of a junior to a senior? Yes, offering obeisances. So, dandavata, sometimes we see, it's not done so much in Western culture, but in Indian culture you'll often see, whenever that dynamic, if they're a junior approaching a senior, they'll make some evident attempt to touch the feet or express some humility by their bodily action like that. So junior to senior is in offering obeisances. What about a senior to a junior? What will we see there?
Blessing.
Also shaking hands. Okay. patting on the head or something like that, that's what you guys are doing back there. Yeah. Now, in this regard, I have a question I'd like to put here something I never understood in this regard. What is smelling the head? Because that's what we hear also, that how a senior relates to a junior by smelling the head. What does that mean? It means like actually like smelling the head, or is it allegory? Samahasi? Well, parental within the senior junior, yes, that's a good point. That's a very good point, Thomas, John Harper makes, because these relationships are very intricate. And so a senior to junior doesn't necessarily mean a parental relationship, but within that category, then you get the parental relationship and you have the smell in your head like that. So yeah, very good. Prabhupada
was saying that when you do that, apparently it ignites smelling it.
Yeah, it stimulates the parental affection. Mother
Jasoda
does every day.
Yeah. Okay.
There is a fragrance actually from the head of the child.
Okay, well, good.
And they also sense a certain danger or kind of try and keep the evil eye away to protect the child. The mother normally senses it to the head.
Okay.
Because she knows the fragrance of the child in a certain way, so it's a form of protection also. She knows the fragrance of the child. Anything different, then she immediately knows there's something wrong happening. That's an intuitive way of protecting the child also.
Okay, it's interesting because she gives us another kind of subtle difference, that protection is there. We talked about compassion being the overwhelming relationship of a senior to a junior. But here we get protection in the parental relationship. That's pretty good. What else do you?
One of the samskaras is putyam murda abhigranam, which means the smelling of the child's head. And it's done by Hiranyakashipu's son, Hari Prahlad, and Kimu Kanapath's son, the head of Gurumaraj's friendship in Pakistan with his friend. And it's and in there, Gopal Bhattu Goswami writes a mantra that says, just making the sound like that of a cow, I smell your head. for affection and protection.
Mm.
And so it's a way of, just like with a little baby, you know, there's something about the fragrance of a small child. So it's a way of expressing affection for the child.
Okay, that's very good. Oh. Give it a mic. Here's our father, please. Maybe you can give back a condensed version real quick.
Gopal Bhatta Goswami has given a samskara, one of our sub-samskaras to the Dashavita samskaras is the Putra Murta Abhigranam, which is the smelling of the child's head, and it's done often in conjunction with another samskara, but it's said that anytime a father goes on a long journey and returns, or anytime he wants to express affection, he smells the head of the child. It's something that Hiranyakashipu did, and also Marjathanapad. It's a way of expressing affection for the child.
Okay, thank you very much. So keep the mic out, because we may need more. And you can take it from here, but we may need it again. Okay, so these are very good. They're giving some of the subtleties of these Vaishnava relationships. What kind of things do you want to avoid in any of the three types of relationships? Offenses, yes, that's a general category, but can you get more specific? What type of things do we particularly want to avoid? Familiarity breeds contempt, so yeah, familiarity may corrupt one of the relationships. So I think if there's a junior to a senior, for instance, there's a certain etiquette that must be maintained. That doesn't mean there's no affection, protection, all those other things, or respect. But if that respect starts getting affected by familiarity, that would be a problem. Yes, without me?
Breaching confidentiality.
Oh, yes. Breaching confidentiality, because that's one of the loving exchanges, isn't it? We have these three types of devotees with the different relationships there, and they work within a frame of exchanging love as described in the Upadeshamrita Nectar of Instruction. And one of those is revealing one's mind confidentially and hearing another reveal their mind. So if someone reveals their mind to you, a junior, and you are receiving that in a senior relationship, when you breach that, then what harm have you done? What harm have you done to that person who has approached you for some confidential exchange? Of course, that's true whether it's equals, superior, senior, junior, equals, or junior, senior. The confidentiality, not breaching confidentiality, is so important. Any other, Prangam?
And Prabhupada immediately stopped. He said, don't do this. You will lose your respect to your spiritual master. You become too familiar. He literally stopped.
Wow, that's great.
What they were doing, that didn't get on my
Prabhupada was bathing in Gandhi and he was splashing water on him. He told him to stop, because it may affect their, yeah. I have some specific things written down here. We should try to avoid backbiting, fault-finding, unnecessary criticism. Talking about others when you're not present there. Those kind of things. Actually, in our GBC rules, we have a code of honor in the GBC where we try to observe proper etiquette amongst the members, because, you know, sometimes there's contentious issues, etc. And one of the things that is in our code is to, if you have something to say to a person, say it to them directly, not out of their company, behind their back or something like that. That won't help. It'll just hurt. So we have to be careful of that. So what about if someone makes a mistake? Then what do we do according to these different relationships? You're a senior, you're a junior, junior makes a mistake. What do you do? Yes.
Krishna Chakrabarti suggested that one should approach the person that offended or did something wrong. And if the other person does not forgive, then do not give up. Create some kind of devotional service that will draw his attention that you are trying, I'm trying to please him. Even if that fails, then he can go and take shelter of holy name completely.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever give him something to say? Moving your hand, be careful, you get called on. No, yes, madame.
One of the things that sometimes happens is it turns into politics, and then it all gets, the etiquette all gets messed up because there's another motive going in there, politics.
Are you talking specifically about how a senior should deal with a junior who's made some mistake or some fault or?
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things is to approach them privately. And to try to correct in a loving manner, rather than publicly. I think that's an important principle.
Mm. Yeah, what I have been down here is rectifying as a friend. There should be some element of friendship there. Friendship meaning benefit, looking to benefit a person, not just to enforce a rule or something like that. So that friendship idea has to be there. Okay, this has been good. Are there any exceptions to these general rules that you're familiar with from the Shastra? I have three exceptions to these general rules. Madame?
I'm not sure if I got it right, but I was thinking when Chanakapan says you treat others, a learned person treats others how they would like to be treated. So that seems to work in all the etiquettes, wouldn't it? But I wasn't sure exactly what you said, so I'm not sure if that was answering it.
Okay, let me give you one of the examples that I have that's a sort of an exception to the rule. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself pointed this out when he was dealing with Mukunda and his son, Raghunandana. Normally, the father is the senior and the son is the junior. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Mukunda, who was the father, who's the father here? In other words, who's the senior here and who's the junior? What was his response?
Raghunandana is the father because he gave Krishna.
Yeah, he said that Raghunandana, the son, was the father, not Mukunda, who's the father, because of what?
He gave Krishna
consciousness. Now, let me get more educated myself also. Is it that he exhibited his superiority in terms of Krishna consciousness, or how did he become superior? By his learning, by the mercy of his father.
Well, his father told him to offer the bhoga to the deity in his absence. And then in his absence, when he was following strictly to his father's order, he did not know the mantra or anything. He just put the plate on the table and he told the deity, please come and eat. This is his mantra, please come and eat. But he didn't eat. Then he felt, he did not know exactly that Krishna eats through the glands, not literally come and sit down and eat. So he kind of humble way of demanding.
He exhibited Krishna consciousness superior to that of his father.
Yeah.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recognized that.
Yes.
Right? So therefore he considered, rather than you're the father, you're the senior, and Mukunda, you're the junior. So that's kind of an exception to the rule there. And I think there are other exceptions also. There's the exception of Sukadeva Goswami and Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva was sitting in the audience when Sukadeva Goswami was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, also Narad Muni was there.
Yeah, so Sukadeva Goswami was younger, and he had been instructed by his father, instructed by Narad, but still he was sitting in a superior position on the Vyasasana reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, and they were sitting there listening. So in one sense, you could say, what is this breach of etiquette going on here? Why are you sitting like that? But why is it that he was able to sit on the Vyasa-san there in front of his spiritual master and his father.
One comment I remember, Srila Prabhupada hint on it, in the fifth chapter, first canto, that even Narad Muni was there, who taught Vyasadeva the secret of Bhagavatam and who taught Sukhdev Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
But he thought that this Bhagavatam is for Paramahansa, it's not for everybody in this age. But when Sukhdev Goswami started speaking, the way he expressed and demonstrated how to approach the Lord with pure devotion was never spoken. Even Narad Muni was surprised, Vyasadeva was surprised.
Mm-hmm.
That this is a fruit came, our own son, gave the best what we could not imagine that it was.
Yeah, this is the point. He had realization of the highest rasas in relationship to Krishna, and he was. And I thought about Madan Mahanti when, because he was like, he had tasted it. He had relished it, and therefore he could repeat it. And that was recognized. So therefore he was qualified. Even though the etiquette was, the traditional etiquette was one thing, he was sitting above the other. Final example I have here, and if anybody thinks of any examples, is the four Kumaras in Jai Vijay. And this is a particularly important one because the curse that the Kumaras gave to Jai and Vijay was based on them considering Jai and Vijay unfit to be associating in the spiritual world because they didn't know how to properly respect a sage or a Vaishnava. And so therefore they cursed him, "You're not fit, you don't know these things." And so the problem was that the Kumaras were looked like small boys. And therefore the Jayan Vijay in the Leela considered them to be small boys and unqualified, inferiors, subordinates, so how dare they try to enter the spiritual world, and therefore they checked them. So external appearances may be one thing, but we have to be careful in the association of devotees not to make assumptions on the basis of external appearances, because if we do, we could commit some kind of offense, like Jai and Vijay did in terms of the Kumaras. So be on the lookout for exceptions to the rule. How can we do that? How can we be on the lookout for exceptions to the rule? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us one very clear rule. We can always be on Chanada Pisanichana Tora Pisanichana Mayana Manadena Kirtani Asadavi. Always be very humble. If we always take that humbleness, then we can avoid, we can execute our etiquette, the proper etiquette, in different kinds of relationships. And exceptions to the rule won't trip us up and get us into trouble. So questions, comments? We're done.
Maybe someone remembers the story. It's from the Mahabharata where Narada Muni, he approached Duryodhana and Yudhisthira, and he asked them one question each. He asked Yudhisthira to find someone that was beneath him. And then they asked Duryodhana to find someone that was superior to him. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Maybe you could say
it. Well, Duryodhana couldn't find anybody that was superior to him, and Yudhisthira couldn't find anybody that was inferior to him. Yes?
Earlier, you were saying that from the verse that once you get the association of devotees, it's impossible to make any advancement outside the association of devotees. Believe me, I know this, because I'm living with someone who's inimical to Guru Rangaranga. So I give up. I don't know what to do. So please, you direct me to someone who can direct me. I have some money, some property, no income right now. You give me someone who can direct me, I'll do it. So I can get association with devotees, because I'm totally at wit's end.
Well, we can talk a little bit after class. So, Donna, Oh, there's some questions on the lady's side. Why don't we go over here to the lady's side? Sukadeva, someplace? One of these days, I'm going to give class, I'm going to say, chant the verse, and I'm going to say, you guys chant first, not you guys.
In terms of association, I met a couple yesterday. I think they have ever been here. I lived with them once, a long time ago. Really, nice couple. So, you were older, and I think you know where the girls are encouraging them and feel that so many people, as they get older, they just want to be around the movies. He said, well, I'm all away from London, 3 hours away from here. He said, my temple is about to go on. He said, I would like to say, cover to cover, every time you receive it. So that's one thing for them that you can do. Is read about the God of cover to cover. It's a great association. And the other thing I was going to mention is
another good thing about our community, back to Godhead is here too.
The Srila Prabhupada's father, he would chastise Srila Prabhupada. He would do it in an apologetic way. He'd say, well, I have to correct you, it's my duty. Even what you're telling us, they will correct it again. So, it's in the case that it's highly deliberate of a message, not necessarily a message, but again, in the humble way that you could possibly deliver it.
Okay.
Do we see an exception in the example of the devotee who stepped over Lord Chaitanya to massage him, but he wouldn't step over him to eat his lunch?
Govinda, Lord Chaitanya's servant.
For service,
he transgressed etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that can be
very delicate, very delicate. Be careful about that. Take association. We need association to make that kind of decision.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See, we see an example of Govinda. He didn't do it for his own enjoyment, taking Bhishan. He was willing to sacrifice that, and that's how he was able to transgress etiquette. We transgress etiquette, at least I can speak to myself. I transgress it, and I can benefit as opposed to giving service. So we have to be careful there. Donald?
There's a couple of things. You're talking about exception. I was thinking about Srila Prabhupada when he was Grihastha. He used to be recommended to give classes in front of his senior sannyasi goddaughters. If it's in the earlier stages of the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, there are some statements of that, that he would be giving classes and, you know, with among his senior sannyas goddaughters, who actually recognized him with reverence after his Guru Maharaj did that. So some point in your class you did mention about saying the truth or criticism. Not exactly remember how you put it over, but it's always something that comes up with me as to if someone does something, there seems to be like a fine line of difference between saying the truth about a situation or criticizing a situation or someone. Mm-hmm. So can you explain something on that delicate difference of approach?
Well, I think we all can recognize that when we're dealing with others, we're correcting others, when we're trying to punish them, when we're trying to actually help, you know, trying to get back. I think we have to monitor our own hearts, or criticizing others or instructing others. Real etiquette, the rule we're talking about here is not rules and regulations, but sort of a situation of the heart, what our motivation is. And that's why I stress the humility. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stresses humility as a guide into how to go through all these things. You have some help on that, Divine Prabhu?
No. Sorry. One thing about the Govinda thing, though, the Lord asked him, why don't you go take your lunch? And Govinda said, well, I couldn't step over. And the Lord said, well, how did you step in here to do the massage? That was really nice. But I just wanted to share a Sangatan story that I did on Saturday that was very inspirational to me. This has never happened to me. I saw a lady sitting in her pickup truck eating ice cream. And I walked up to her to give her the lollipop. And she put down the window. And I handed her the lollipop. And she was eating ice cream. So she put the ice cream down. And then I handed her a chant and be happy. And she grabbed the book and said, oh my God, it's my spiritual master. I said, what? And she said, in 1973 in Seattle, I was initiated by Prabhupada. I said, what's your name? And she said, Dana Shri Devi Dasi. And this woman had been blocked for 43 years. And she was so happy to meet me and get the book. And then she told me, she said, we have really good prasadam out there. And I said, did you know Shukadeva? She said, yeah, I know Shukadeva. And she knew that I was there. We traveled, had a traveling party. And Magendra took us all the way out there because Prabhupada was going to be in San Francisco. So we used the excuse of the, there was an expo, a huge expo in Spokane. So we went to, we did Sangatan there. And then we went to Seattle, and then we went to see Prabhupada. But she told her they were cooking prasadam, and that was the year that Harrison was doing his tour. And I remember we followed George's tour. And she got to cook prasadam for George and then deliver it to him. So she actually went in with George Harrison and gave him prasadam. And she was, I mean, it just amazed me, you know what I mean? I've met a lot of people in Sangatan these last 44 years, and I never met that. That was just, really made my day. It was like ecstatic.
Wow, very nice.
I thought I would share that.
Thank you. So with that, we should probably end with Mahamaya. Okay, Mahamaya. Last one.
So would another exception be Chaitanya chastising Govamangala Thakur? Saying to him that if you just had so much enthusiasm you showed to get to me, if you show that to Krishna, then your life would be perfect. And so she was his prostitute and she's preaching to him.
That's an exceptional circumstance for sure. And Govamangala Thakur made the best of it. From Chintamani. Yes, Guru spoke through Chintamani.
Mm-hmm. I've also heard that it says that the topmost devotee, he thinks everybody else is a devotee but him.
Mm.
Could you explain anything on that now?
Not at 2 minutes to nine. We have to end it. Interesting at Bhagavatam.